You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Scripture for this morning, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 25, reading from verse 1. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Thank you.
Good morning again. How are you doing? I've really enjoyed worship this morning. I love that story Helen wrote, read out. So good morning, church. If you're online today following us, good morning to you as well. When I first had this scripture on my heart, I thought I was going to call it, "Are you prepared to shine the light?" I didn't know. I didn't want it to be about what I do. I felt this message is a real message about God. It's about his story. And I really feel that this story reminds us that we are loved by God. And that because of his love, we're invited into life with him. So God calls you today. He says, "I love you." He's actually called you to join his family. He's called you to be his child. He's called you to be part of this wedding party that we hear in the parable. But I think to get to know the parable and the story, we need to have a little look at the setting first. And the parable comes from Matthew 25, but in the previous chapter before, in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the end of things, the end of times. And the disciples ask Jesus, they say, "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So these are the questions on the minds of the disciples. To fill you in on what's happening, Jesus and his disciples are walking by the temple. And he tells them that the temple will be torn down and that no stone will be left standing on top of another. Then that leads into a private chat with the disciples. And they're asking the questions. When will this happen? What is the sign of your coming? And what are the signs of the end of the age? Jesus then goes into quite a detailed account of what to look for. Some of this may sound familiar. War and rumors of war. Nation against nation. Famine and earthquakes. The birthing pains, he calls them. These are the birthing pains. A time of persecution follows. Increased wickedness. False prophets. Basically a time of distress. Ultimately, he says, the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of Jesus will be quick, like lightning. But the day is unknown and the time is unknown. So be ready and keep watch. So the setting is clear. And the parable of the 10 virgins gives us a message of what to look for, what to watch out for when we're thinking about the return of Jesus. Where are all the smiles gone from? Oh, they're still there. But what about God's love in this story? Let's have a look at some of the characters first. I've got to build this picture for you. The bridegroom, I think, is a really easy one. It's Jesus. Okay, Isaiah 54:5 says this, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." So Isaiah declares in his book that God's our husband. Okay. In Mark's gospel, Jesus is asked why his disciples are not fasting like John's are, or why the Pharisees are fasting. And Jesus answers, he says, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, as they have him with them." So even Jesus in this passage declares himself as the bridegroom. Easy enough, eh? So we've got Jesus as the bridegroom. Very safe assumption to make. Then we get into the virgins, the 10 bridesmaids, some call them. And I've been having a bit of a dig around, and I think some people think it's the church. Some people say it's Israel. But I think we can get distracted at this point. With end times, with what's going to happen, how it's all going to work out, if you really want to, you can go down rabbit hole after rabbit hole, trying to figure out who's who, what's what, and what's going to happen. I'd advise that you don't do that. It can be interesting, but yeah. My aim today is to see what we can learn about these characters, these virgins. Not trying to figure out who they are, but what we can learn from them. What's God saying to us in this story? And I'll say it again. What God is saying is that he loves you. And I'm going to prove it. Well, God's word is going to prove it. So with our settings, with our characters in mind, let's get into it, hey? Matthew 25:1 says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took out their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." So we're introduced to our main characters, but what's the setting? It's the kingdom of heaven. Hold on. Matthew 24 that we've just heard about says that the kingdom of heaven is, or it's set in war, famine, persecution, difficult times, hard times. How does that speak of God's love? Because the kingdom of heaven, who's in control? God's in control. So already from the setting, we can learn that doesn't matter how bad it gets, God is in control. God loves you. The other loving action we see here is that there's yet to be announced a wise or a foolish virgin. 10 virgins are invited. So we're all invited into the kingdom of heaven. They've both been invited. It's a big, wide invitation into this wedding banquet. And in verse 2 to 4, we find out a little bit more. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. I'm reminded a little bit of school camps. Who's ever been on a camp with school kids? Might just be something I get to do. There's always one kid who has their older brother and sister's torch that hasn't been turned on for a few years. There's a bit of rust in the batteries and it kind of flickers on. Doesn't work that well. And then you have the other group. They've got the brand new torch. They've got the new batteries in the torch, but they've also got a whole pack of batteries to see them through the week and probably a power pack in there too. Like, they're really well prepared. Just reminded me of, you know, being prepared, what we can have. Ultimately, in our story, the wise get into the banquet. So it's an analogy of our eternal life with Jesus. These wise virgins get into the banquet. So what do you believe this morning will get you into the banquet? Because this is one of the challenges of this parable. Is it being prepared? Is it having the perfect batteries? Is it something we do that gets us into the great wedding feast, the great banquet? It's God's love that gets us in. It's Jesus dying on the cross for us that gets us in. It's Jesus who rose from the dead. It's Him returning. It's Him coming back to get us. So the gospel message is to repent from your sin, to turn back to God, and through faith, come and know Jesus. That's what gets us in. God loves us. He gives us a choice. He says, you know what? You can be a wise one or you can be a foolish one. What a loving God that gives a choice. I've always appreciated choice in the things that I do. And I know God loves me because He's invited me into this choice to know His Son and to know Him. If we go on to verse 5, it says the bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. It has been a long time, right, since Jesus told this story? A few thousand years, that's a long time. And we hear about this age that we're in, this time we're in. And this is where the disciples say, when is it coming to an end, this age of grace that we're in? Have a listen to this scripture from 2 Peter, verse 3 to 9. Sorry, chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is why we wait. This is why we wait for Jesus, because God loves us. He gives us time. He's giving everyone time to know Him and turn back to Him. That's the action of a loving God. That's why they wait. Then the virgins all become drowsy and fall asleep while they're waiting. In the original text, the word drowsy can mean idle. I was having a little look in the Bible what it said about being idle. It's not what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to be idle. Can definitely say it falls into the category of sin. So what? The wise and the foolish all fall asleep and are all idle? It's interesting, hey? So we can see our God being patient with us. And if the wise and the foolish are both idle or both fall asleep, the wise still go into the banquet at the end, almost like God is not counting their sin against them. So we know it's through faith in Christ that gets us into the wedding banquet, isn't it? It's not what we do. It's not keeping the law. Steve spoke about that last week. It's about our faith in Jesus, about our acceptance of Him as our Lord and Savior, turning back to Him. And then the next verse goes on to say, at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Do you remember Jesus said the hour is unknown? But then it says he's coming at midnight. I think it just represents an unexpected hour that Jesus is coming. Okay, please don't go away from here today thinking he's coming at midnight. The loving thing here is we have this strategy given to us of what to do as we look around and see the world we live in. Sometimes as a chaplain, I have kids that come to me and talk to me with a problem or something, and I can't really speak directly into that occurrence or that thing that's happened in their life, but what I can share with them is a bit of a strategy. And I think God loves us now because he shares a strategy. He says, keep watch. Look for me. I'm coming. A strategy for how to live in a world where things aren't perfect, where things are tough, where we look and, you know, you look in the news and you see what's happening in Israel and different parts of the world, but we have a strategy here from God. God, in his loving way, says, expect me. I'm coming soon. Live in hope. I think about kids. I used to teach skiing, and a lot of kids would come into ski lessons in this really foreign atmosphere. But one of the things you could say to them always would help them calm down a little bit would be like, it's okay because your parents are coming back. They're coming back to get you. And I feel that way about this verse. So we know God's heart is for waiting. We know he's in control. He loves us, and we can have hope in him. Verse 7, all the virgins wake up and they trim their lamps. They get ready. The foolish ones say to the wise in verse 8, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And this is where things can get challenging. Because the answer is no, they replied. There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. Do you know what I was challenged by when I read that? What happened to love your neighbor? How does that fit? Doesn't really, does it? I don't know about you guys, but whenever I get a scripture that doesn't really fit, I know I have to dig deeper. I have to look deeper. I have to read more. I need to pray. I need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and teach me and spend some time with that verse. But this one was a bit of a challenge because it's harsh. Go and get your own oil. I've got mine. You know, as Christians, we can share a lot. We can share time. We can share money, food, etc. We can help people. But there's one thing we can't share. I cannot share my own personal acceptance of Jesus with you. You need your own. Can't share it. And so I was like, oh, hold on. What's this saying? So the wise virgins can't share their relationship with Jesus. Is that what the oil represents? Maybe our oil, our relationship with Jesus? They say, go and buy your own oil. And then I was having a look at that word buy. And it does mean like go and buy, purchase, acquire, get something in the marketplace. But then in the original text, it also says this, and to setting a slave free through purchase. Often to God's purchase, redemption of sinners. So what's going on here? This is what I think. I think the virgins have heard the call. They've woken up. The ones that don't have enough oil are being told by the ones that do have oil. Jesus has already paid the price. Go and buy your oil. Go and see him. I think they've shared, even up to the last minute where Jesus is coming back, those that know Jesus have shared the gospel. In this story, they've shared that message of love. Pretty good, hey? It kind of fits in with the Great Commission, what we're called to do, sharing our love, sharing who Jesus is with others. Then it goes on to say, but while they're on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. The virgins who were ready went in with him and the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. In verse 11, it says, later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. Do you remember the parable of the farmer the other week? I think of those seeds. Maybe they heard the message and they went out and it fell on rocky ground, or life got in the way. They missed that opportunity. Maybe that's what happened there. But when they came back, Jesus says in verse 12, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Might sound harsh. Might sound like Jesus has just said, out of here, but flip it around. I think the real story here is that Jesus wants to know you. And we have that opportunity in this age of grace. God has invited you for a life with him. He's paid the entrance fee. He's paid the price for your ticket. I think that's pretty loving, isn't it? Then it goes on to say, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. God asks us to live an expectant life of him. That story we read today is all about being expectant of Jesus, his return. Live in hope of Jesus. Live in hope of him coming. Look for the signs of his coming. Have peace, knowing the signs of his coming is his coming, as tough and as bad as they seem. See, you live in the kingdom, God says. He says, I love you, and I'm asking you to look for me. Wait for me. Join me. One of my favorite scriptures is in Revelation 3:20. It says this, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. Ultimately, we're all invited to know Jesus. The difference between the wise and the foolish, I guess it's accepting and knowing Jesus, accepting that invite, coming to know him. And I don't know where you're all at today. I don't know if you're sitting over here in the wise camp, or maybe, do you know what? If you know Jesus, if you're wise, if your lamp's full of oil, go and share it. Share it with those who need to hear it. Share it with those who, when they look at the world, they need to know that message of Jesus. Share the gospel with them, those people of peace. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus, that hasn't accepted that invitation, all it is today is just saying yes. Say yes to that invitation. I told you to be a story of love. You know, some of the parables do seem like they can be quite harsh at times. But I'd encourage you to dig and to read and just have that question, how's God showing his love for me in this story?
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.